What is going on, Clipper Nation? It is me, Positive Chuck Mockler. I am solo today. William the Opinion Updike is at his brother's wedding. He somehow forgot that there would be a bachelor party tonight. I said on the halftime stream he was going to be here. He's not for the Thursday episode. Hoping he's going to be there here for Friday so we can recap the win against the Spurs that I think is going to happen. Tonight got a bit of a tough episode. Wasn't the most electrifying night of basketball from the Clippers in Utah. We're going to recap the loss to the Jazz. Not the most fun game to sit through. It was fun in the first half, and then we'll get into kind of what went wrong, but it has to do with Mike Conley and the third quarter as a whole. After that, we're going to be previewing the game against the Spurs. We're in the midst of a bit of a tough schedule situation, so we're going to go over that, what we can do to win there. And then after that, there's going to be Thirsty Thursdays, as well as some load management talk, which if you didn't watch the game, we'll get into that. And just some general, you know, got to give some shout outs to Steph, and just what we want to see in terms of some lineup ideas. So if you missed the game on Thursday night, the Clippers fell to the Jazz 96 to buck 10. There was no Kawhi. It was announced he was going to be out. The team listed it as a knee being the reason, but Doc elaborated on that. That was just, you know, kind of something they put down. Some people seemed worried about this, but I wasn't so much worried as I was bummed, I guess. This is what we're going to have to deal with when you have Kawhi. Not I guess, it is what you deal with. First night of a back-to-back away. We have some home games coming up. You know, it sucks. It was obviously his absence was felt, as it's always going to be, but, you know, this is where we're at. That opened the door for Lou Will to start, which was kind of interesting. That was one of the things that went well that we're going to get into in a sec. Magruder made his debut, which was good. We're definitely going to talk about some man minutes. The man heads out there are probably excited. They were kind of upset at me saying that Jerome would play before him, which he did. I don't necessarily think that was good. We're going to talk about Jerome too. Some stats from this game. We'll start with the Jazz. Mike Conley had 29 points and 5 dimes. He went 6 of 8 in the third quarter. Absolutely came alive. We had mentioned in the pregame episode that maybe he wouldn't shoot his regular 20% clip. And boy, he didn't. Mitchell had 24. Bohan added 14. He had kind of a tough night in the beginning, but, you know, still contributed well. For the Clippers, Lou Will led the team with 24 points on 53% shooting. Jermichael Green set a career high in 3 points made, going 5 of 6. He was 23-8 on the night. He was absolutely fantastic. And Zubats went 4 of 4 with 8 boards and 2 blocks. Got kind of, I don't want to say put in the doghouse, but seemed like his confidence was lost in the third, and Doc pulled him out. But he had a fantastic game against Gobert. Let's get into what went well. Not a whole bunch. Lou started this game, which is interesting. We had Bev, Sham, Lou, and then Patterson and Zoo. The scoring was needed initially. It was really good. Before the third quarter started, this was a one-point game in Utah, which surprised some people, I think. I think we're going to be in it, but that close at half was great. But no, Lou looked good in the starting lineup. We needed his shot creation, his ability to just get buckets. That was something that was very much missing in the backup point guard situation. Jermichael Green's shooting went well. Miriam Swanson had a great tweet that definitely might end up being true. It's true right now that Jermichael might be the Clippers' best three-point shooter. He was great tonight. He's picked up where he left off last season, which is great. He's shooting something absurd, like 66% from the three-point line so far this season. He's been fantastic. He's been in the right spots. He always kind of has that knack of knowing where to be, making good decisions. His fouls got a little crazy in some games. He does get a little hacky, I guess. He kind of he kept under control tonight. He only had 3, which was good. No one really had too much foul trouble except for Trez, which we're going to get into in a sec. Zoo looked fantastic early, which was great. I talked about that a little bit up top. He challenged Gobert. He blocked him once. He's not backing down. I really wanted to see him make a statement game, and he, for the most part, when he was on the court, it was fantastic. He only logged 17 minutes. I think more people wanted to see him get more than that. But again, I think it was that third quarter that got him. But the kind of, I don't know if development of the night is totally right, but I'm not convinced it's totally wrong either, was Terrence Mann. He got some minutes. He had 10 minutes. He had 5 dimes, 4 points, went 2 of 3 from the floor. I mean, the offense looks solid. He's not really a shooting threat, but the distribution was there. I mean, 5 dimes in 10 minutes. He has that. This, I hate kind of saying these things, but he has that look when he's on the court where you say, that makes sense. That's there. He needs to shore up his defense. I tweeted about this under the Lockdown Clips Twitter. Definitely, needs to soak up as much as he can from Bev, Kawhi, and Paul George, but I can't think of a better situation for a rookie to be in who needs to work on their defense and learning from those three guys, especially with this kind of free safety thing that we're going to be doing when Kawhi's out there. It's just something he can pick up on. But that was maybe the best part of the night, I think, was Mann kind of taking that carryover from the preseason and showing that the distribution's there and he's able to kind of make things happen when they need to happen. It was really cool to see. Shout out Terrence Mann for having a great game. Shout out all the man heads out there. I'm not sure if that's a good nickname for y'all. Send me some suggestions. I'm open to them. First thing that came to my head, if I'm being totally honest. Let's get into what went wrong. Really, it was the third quarter. The game was, we were down 1 at half. Things were looking, like we were down 1 at half. Then the third quarter hit. We got outscored 38-20. They shot 62%, including 6-for-7 from 3. We shot 50% total, but missed all 4 of the threes we took. So we got absolutely ruined by that third quarter. Conley came alive. I think he went 6-of-8 or something like that. Just absolutely crushed us. It was not fun to watch. It really just got off the rails so fast. It was kind of astonishing to see, which leads me into the next point, is the defense is, I don't know if worrisome is the word. It's been, it's been 5 games. But, no Kawhi is a big drop-off. I think we all knew that, but I think the amount of drop-off that we're seeing is maybe a little crazier than we thought, especially given the 48 wins that we got from the team last year with essentially the same lineup, sans Kawhi. So it's a little worrisome right now. The perimeter defense is kind of disorganized, it looks, as of this moment. We did match them in 3-point field goals, I believe. Sorry, I'm just double-checking to make sure I'm correct on this. We had 23 to their 24. So that was nice. At least there wasn't a crazy disparity in that department. But it still just doesn't, it's not instilling confidence. That team that was kind of struggling offensively, putting up less than 100 a game, put up a buck 10 on us. The third quarter was kind of a perfect storm of both of these things, of great shooting from them and getting some bounces on us, just not being, I don't know if locked in is the right word, or focused or something, but the third quarter just kind of overwhelmed our guys. It wasn't very fun to see. No real backup point guard is kind of a big worry and a key takeaway from this game. Rome went 4-7 from the floor, which was great, but also had 5 turnovers. Shamet had 3 turnovers. There's really no creation outside of, Bev right now, and in terms of backup point guards, there's no real creation outside of maybe Mann. He was absolutely electric with the ball. He was finding guys. So this is an issue. Point Kawhi seems like it's going to be relied on kind of heavily this year. I'm totally fine with that. That's going to be fine when Paul George comes back. He has some distribution skills too. So it's worrisome in these first 10 games because I want, I think most of us want to escape with at least a 500 record out of this. We do have, we're in the middle of one back-to-back. We got another one coming up right after this. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on these next couple games. Trez had 3 fouls in his first 5 minutes of play, which was not good. He only ended up logging 13 minutes, which was tough. That early foul trouble, something that obviously we know Doc doesn't like. Not the most stellar game from Trez as a whole. He didn't play particularly, poorly on the offensive end. He went 5-of-9. defense got a little rough. But, you know, the early fouls aren't going to be good. Key takeaways from this, I mentioned the, I think maybe the biggest one is the backup point guard worry. Farbod pointed out a fantastic thing on Twitter. If Shamit's, I'm hoping Shamit's wrist is totally okay. He's still rocking the bandage. He went 1 of 7, including 0 of 3 from behind the line. So something to keep an eye on there. We hope he's 100%. Man needs more minutes, specifically in games like this. We're not where they're out of hand, but maybe it's not as close of a game or something like that. He could saddle him with some more responsibility, but he needs some more minutes. I'm going to say that. Good to see Magruder back. He was rusty tonight. He was 0 for 3 in 18 minutes, but nice to see him out there. A few guys were ice cold tonight. I'm going to talk about this later in the Thursday segment, but we have some crazy fluctuation with shooting, it really seems like. Happy to get Kawhi back. Think we might need him more than we know, which, you know, I'm going to talk about more when Will gets back. But depending how these next couple games go, we might need Kawhi more than we knew. And, you know, let's just hope this defense gets shored up. Let's hope we can get this figured out in the next couple of games. Definitely when Kawhi gets back, that'll be a big help. It is on to the Spurs tomorrow, where I'm going to preview that game coming up next. But first, gotta get a shout out to Indochino, the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. You can start your style up right now with $30 off your total purchase of $3.99 or more at Indochino.com when entering code LOCKEDON at checkout. And hey, if you just bought a new suit, what better way to celebrate than gambling a bunch of money? If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. You know, you take a couple of the big favorites this week. Parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Either way, you're going to bet this season. Do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. You can wear your fantastic new suit. You can probably win a couple bucks to get another suit after clocking some bets on mybookie.ag. Shout out to them. Coming up after this, we have a preview of the Spurs game. Okay, welcome to the preview of the Spurs game. Hope you guys, you know, just gambled a bunch of money and won some. I hope that happened. Spurs are coming to town. This starts a, I believe, four-game stretch for the Clippers where we're at home, which is good. We're going to get into what we need to do well right off the bat. We need to keep letting that thing fly. Spurs opponents are shooting 37% from three. The attempts are lower than the top third of the league, so they're doing pretty good at kind of limiting people's attempts from beyond the arc. So our efficiency, needs to be up there for sure, but we got to throw up more three-point shots than 23, which is what we did against the Jazz. I'd love to see us in that 30-plus range. I know Doc said he doesn't really care if the points are coming from twos or threes. They don't look at that, but we're going to have to stretch this defense. If Zoo's not going early, if he can't seem to get things going with Aldridge early on the offensive end, it might be kind of difficult. So letting it fly and getting him more space to operate down there so Zoo can't get swarmed or something like that is going to be key. Another thing we got to do is get to the line. The Spurs are top 10 in not fouling. We saw it in the game against the Jazz. We only had 12 free throw attempts. We hit 10 of 12. Which, you know, obviously you're very happy with that. But only getting 12 hurt us in this game. We need to kind of frustrate the Spurs in this situation. Lou, Trez, and Kawhi get to the line the most for this team. And all three of those guys are going to be playing tomorrow, I think. I'm not entirely sure if Doc would rest Lou, given how many minutes he played tonight. He played 27 tonight, so we'll see how much he ends up playing. But when he's out there, we're going to need him to try and get to the line as much as we can, just to kind of frustrate them and get in their head. We need to, you know, this is going to sound stupid, we got to defend well. Guys, let's get that perimeter defense. We can't get a Popovich or let a Popovich team get comfortable behind the three-point line. It's not good. I always like watching Pop and Doc battle, but it might be, it's going to be interesting to watch tomorrow defensively. The Spurs are getting a lot of help from their young guys. They're 3-0 right now, which is, I don't want to say incredible, but they look good. They're not, you know, they're 6th in scoring and 110. They're giving, or 119, excuse me. They're giving up 114 a game. So I think offensively we definitely can bother them. The matchups are interesting. I'm going to get into the matchups after we get into what could go wrong. Their bench actually matches up pretty well with ours. So if our ones can't figure it out, it's going to be even more so on the bench to get this one done, which, depending how much minutes Lou ends up playing, could be a difficult task. They got a bench that has you got Derek White, you got Patty Mills, Bellinelli, Rudy Gay, Jacob Pertl. It might be the deepest bench we've played against so far. It might be the most formidable that we've had to go up against. I'm not worried about our bench against them. It's just something that could go wrong. You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping Mo is more effective in this game against the Spurs than he has been the last couple games. He's had like one timely bucket here and there, and he's passing the eye test in terms of impact, which is good. But I'd like to see it in the stat sheet in the Spurs game. That would be just a little comforting and maybe ease up on some things. What could go wrong? Right now, they are the number two team. Before the Jazz game, they were right behind us in field goal percentage. They were number two in field goal percentage. Pop teams find their spots and hit, which means our defensive communication needs to be clutch. This is going to be a theme, I think, all year, but especially against a team like the Spurs right now. They have this kind of funny mix of quick youth and then like very slow guys like LaMarcus Aldridge. Their pace is actually eighth. So they're top 10 in pace, which I think is probably going to fall as the season goes on. But right now, Aldridge kind of has fresh legs, which is not good. He can absolutely stretch the floor, which brings us to the first of our key matchups is Zoo versus Aldridge. I'm hoping Zoo can build on what happened against the Jazz. This is a great matchup for Zoo with Aldridge's mid-range capabilities. And by great matchup, I mean it's a great test. It's a very, he has range, so we're going to see Zoo pulled out a little bit. His defense is going to have to do a little bit more than I think he's used to doing that far out away from the basket. So we'll see. And it's going to be also fun to watch if Zoo tries to answer Aldridge's mid-range game. In the game against the Jazz, he hit a nice, 17-foot or something like that, which looked good. The stroke looked good. It went in, so I think most people are excited. But it's going to be funny if Zoo, if he starts kind of feeling himself a little bit from that mid-range. Aldridge has a crazy high usage rate. He takes the same amount of shots as DeMar does for the Spurs, which is 16. So Zoo's going to be on the ball a lot. I'm hoping we can rest Trez a little bit and Zoo can really make an impact on there. Might be a team effort on this one. We could see Patterson helping Swarm or something like that. He's a big dude. If he's starting, I'm not sure what the starting lineup's going to be, but I wouldn't be surprised if Patterson's still in it. DeMar versus Kawhi. Fully rested Kawhi should absolutely destroy DeMar on the offensive end, right? Like that is something that should happen. I'm hoping it does. I'm not saying that I don't think it will, but we could see some sputtering or something like that. DeRozan's playing with a 107 defensive rating right now, so it's there. I would be really happy to see that happen. I think obviously Kawhi can shut him down on the defensive end. Backcourt versus backcourt. Murray and Forbes versus what I'm assuming is going to be Bev and Sham is very interesting. Those are two kind of shifty, quick guys. So if we're going to be switching, which it seems like sometimes the team doesn't know if they're doing or not, the communication is going to be absolutely crucial in this one. Ball denial is going to be big. Murray is averaging 6 assists for the Spurs, but no one else is above 3. So Shaman's ball denial has been great. He uses some very interesting tactics to not foul people. In the Jazz game at one point, he challenged a Conley layup by jumping and just not putting his arms up. So he was kind of jumping and it almost looked like he froze in the air. But these tactics are working. He's not fouling a bunch. He has great ball denial on whoever he's guarding, so he's going to have to be locked in when Bev is guarding Jamal Murray, which I definitely think is going to happen a little bit. I'm excited for this game. I think we can bounce back from this one. Doc said in his presser after the Jazz game that he said, what are we, 3-2? That sounds about right. That sounds about where we are as a team. I'm not disagreeing with him. I think we're a tiny bit better than 3-2. That Suns loss looks, I guess, better after what happened tonight. But as far as predictions go, I'm going with the Clippers. Kawhi coming back, I think there's still going to be some residue from his relationship with the Spurs, I feel like. I think he's going to be excited to just get out there and kind of figure things out. I'm really hoping that he, you know, I think we're going to see a shored up defense. I think we could maybe hit a stride. I'm thinking the bench is going to have to step up if we win this game. I think it's going to be close. I think Clippers win 105. I think Clippers win 112-108. I think it's going to be one of those games. It's going to be stressful because that is who we are as a basketball team forever is what it seems like. But I think we're going to get the dub. We're back at Staples. Hope Clipper Nation is loud when they're there. If you're going to the game, let us know. Maybe we'll say what's up at halftime, get a Ludo Bird sandwich or something like that. Coming up after this, we have our regular Thursday segment, Thirsty Thursdays, as well as some shavings. Okay, welcome to Thirsty Thursdays. Will is not here to do the classic can opening bit, but just why don't you crack open a beer? I'll give you a second and listen to this last segment. Okay, beers are open, or you're maybe driving to work. I'm recording this the night before, so if you're not having beers on the way to work, I don't know what to tell you. I am thirsty for, you gotta stay with me on this one, not as much extreme ends of the spectrum when it comes to shooting in games. That this could be me being too picky slash maybe kind of insane, but what I mean is, in the game against the Jazz, Sham went 1 of 7, Patterson 1 of 4, Magruder 0 of 3, Mo 1 of 3. That is bad. And then we had guys go Zoo 4 of 4, Trez 5 of 9, Jermichael 8 of 11, Rome 4 of 7. So we don't have a lot of middle ground guys. It seems like every night at least two guys are going pretty cold. You know, Sham 1 of 7, that is obviously going to change. I'm thirsty for that to change. I'm thirsty for that bandage to get off of his wrist as well. But I think it's going to even out. But right now, it's just, it feels just very much early season-y basketball. Like we're not quite there yet, which I know we're not as a team, but I think everyone got, I did, a little psyched up at how good this team looked in terms of ball movement. But we're going to get there. I'm just thirsty for it to come along a little quicker than it is. Oh, man. It just looks odd sometimes, you know? I'm thirsty for the no Kawhi lineup to look better. Paul George does seem slated to come back at that 10-game mark, which is good. Very, very good. But until then, we might see Kawhi rest again. Maybe it's on the second night of a back-to-back or something like that. But I just want that starting non-Kawhi lineup to look a little more cohesive. It's weird because I don't think we have to see it very much, but it's really just this 10-game stretch where I want us to come out over 500. Some people were freaking out on Twitter about Doc taking Zoo off, and he was kind of weird about his rotations tonight, but the decision to start Lou was a good one, which I was not 100% in on, I guess, when I first saw it. As the game went on, it made very clear sense. We needed his shooting 100%, and we definitely miss it on the bench when he ends up starting. So I guess really is now that I'm talking myself out of this Thirsty Thursday bullet point, is that I want the second unit to look better when Kawhi's not in the starting lineup, which will be easier once Paul George comes back. But for these 10 games, it really has to get figured out. I don't know if that means maybe moving Mo to the starting lineup and seeing what Patterson and Jermichael can do out there with their shooting, because they're both shooting very hot right now. Patterson is shooting, I believe, 47% from three right now, which is fantastic. Probably unsustainable. He's at 4.2 attempts a game at 47%. So maybe those two guys on the bench can help shore up the starting unit and maybe take some pressure off whoever the primary playmaker ends up being. But right now, it would be nice if this pre-10-game lineup could look a little more comfortable together, especially if Kawhi might sit again between now and Paul George comes back. And then I guess I'm kind of thirsty for being able to get used to this load management. I talked about this off top. This is part of having Kawhi. And when you first, because this is the first instance of us, I think a lot of people being like, oh, okay, we're 5 games in and the load management starts. Or doesn't start, depending on how you want to think about how the season is going. It's interesting because I think maybe they're just, the team might be defining load management differently than what we think of it as. They're saying that, you know, the message is everyone wants to be healthy by the time the playoffs roll around, which I couldn't agree more with. But they're kind of saying that that doesn't mean load management, but it just totally does, and I think that's fine if they just kind of say it. Not that they're not. We know that there's the limit on minutes with Kawhi. It's kind of like that 33 range. But the game off, we do have the back-to-backs coming up, or we're in the middle of one, then we have another one very soon. But it's all at home, so I think that was the rationale behind it tonight. But I just want to get my brain a little more used to it. I wasn't against it tonight, given the schedule we have coming up, but it is still kind of like, oh, damn, okay, we're doing this early, cool. But I think it's going to be kind of topsy-turvy. Not having Paul George is making people, myself included, freak out a little bit more, I think. When we lose, the load management choice is always going to feel wrong. I'm not saying it is, but for a lot of people, it's going to be like, well, damn it, we obviously shouldn't have load managed them this night because X was happening. When we were only down one in the first half, everyone was very excited on Twitter that we were down one without Kawhi. And then when things got crazy in the third, which is a bit of an anomaly, yes, probably it doesn't happen if Kawhi is out there. They don't shoot, you know, hovering around 70% in the third. But people are always going to be upset when the load management doesn't go the right way, which is kind of something we have to, I guess, just comes with the territory of load management, which is one of the reasons maybe people are against it. But we just got to get used to it. It kind of sucks. I feel like a weird teacher being like, sometimes bad things happen, you just got to deal with it. But it's going to pay off in the long run when we have health for not just the end of this season, but going into the season after this season. This is one of the things where I think right now with the team, we can look ahead and kind of be excited for that in terms of after this year, of the load management this year is paying off for next year as well. A ring in between now and then would also make it feel a little bit better. But for now, this is what we got to deal with. Want to close on this. Steph Curry, brutal injury. Aaron Baines fell right on his wrist. If you're watching the live stream at halftime, you know how I feel about Aaron Baines. I'm not saying it's his fault, but come on, man. Broken hand is what they're saying. I think they got to just shut him down. It doesn't seem like things are going too well for the Warriors right now. That's not a bad thing. These things, I mean, I hate to say that they happen because it's absolutely terrible and we're losing one of the best players in the league. But, you know, Bev said it best. Prayers up to Steph. We hope he's doing okay. Shout out to the Warriors. I don't know. This sounds weird, but maybe shoot one of your weird Warriors friends a I'm sorry about Steph message. I don't know. Hope everyone had a good time watching the game against the Jazz. Give us a shout out again, like I said, if you're going to the game against the Spurs, which is going to be tonight if you're listening to this. Hopefully you are on Thursday. For Friday's episode, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory against the Spurs, a small preview of the Jazz game on Sunday, some Pac-Div talk because the Suns look like the third best team in the Pac-Div, maybe second, I don't know. And of course, a love, marry, kill. Want to give a shout out to all the new listeners. Thanks for sticking with us. If this is your first time listening, usually there's two hosts. Will Updike is at his brother's wedding. Give him a follow on Twitter at Will Updike. You can find us at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike, like I just said, and at Locked On Clips, where we're on there most of the day when I probably should be working. So send questions, come say what's up. I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks, Clipper Nation.